Sam LaPrade Show continues on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Well, there's some moments in our lives we just remember exactly where we were when we learned the tragic news. And I remember exactly where I was at Algonquin College. I was a student there taking the public relations program, and I was in the stairwell of the school. We were there late working on a project, and somebody said there's been a shooting at a school in Quebec. And I just couldn't believe it. And as the news rolled out over the next number of days, what came to light is that 14 women that were pursuing their dream had their life ended. We wanted today to remember the 14 women that lost their lives and the women that survived the shooting as well. We wanted to spend some time today with Pam Cross, a lawyer who focuses on ending violence against women. She's from Renfrew County. How are you, Pam?
I'm well, thank you, Sam.
Pam, on a day like today, on December the 6th, will always be a day that I remember these women. How do you commemorate a day like today?
I do it differently every year. This year, not surprisingly, I suppose, to you, Sam, my focus is on the recommendations coming out of the Renfrew County inquest, which you've covered so exhaustively and well. And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm thinking, are we going to hear anything from this government, the government of Ontario, this month, that being 6 months since the recommendations were released? Are we going to see anything coming from this province that indicates they plan to implement those recommendations?
Mm-hmm. It certainly is, you know, the opportunity for us to try and see how things can be done differently. I mean, when we think back 33 years ago, Pam, do you remember where you were?
I absolutely do. Like you, I was a student. I was a mature student at law school at Queen's University. And I was actually out having a drink with my partner when one of our housemates came running into the pub where we were sitting, saying, "You need to get home. Something terrible has happened." And so home I went, and of course we put the TV on, and like you, sat there stunned, I think, for much of the evening as, mm-hmm. as more and more information became available.
And when I think about, you know, I'm looking right now, you know, remembering these 14 women, and I look at their pictures, Pam, and you know, they were the you and I of then, right? I mean, we were students back then, and, you know, I think about all of the, you know, the life that they had, the smiles that they're showing, the hope that they had, and how, you know, in their own way, had they been, you know, given the opportunity, they would have changed the lives of many people, I'm sure, with the work that they would have done. And to see these lives cut short and to remember each and every one of them today is really the goal. When you talk about the recommendations and you talk about, you know, everything that obviously came out of the inquiry of the three women that were killed in Wilno in the Ottawa Valley, Natalie, Carol, and Anastasia, when I think about those women and that inquiry that took 7 years, why does stuff take so long to go through? To me, it just is, it's so much simpler than that, but you're in the system, Pam. You tell me why.
Well, I think you know, we can blame COVID for some of the delay this time. The coroner's office was very committed to having the inquest take place in Renfrew County in person. And of course, beginning in early 2020, we were dealing with different versions of lockdowns and stay-at-home orders and whatnot. So that's part of the delay. I think the longest delay actually came well before the inquest was planned, and that was the 2-year delay between the time of the murders and the completion of the criminal process. So the criminal process has to be out of the way before an inquest can take place. Mm-hmm. And that took 2 years on its own. So Canadian criminal law moves very, very slowly for reasons that we don't probably want to get into right now. But that was the first slowdown, if you want to call it that.
Because I remember thinking back to 1989 when this happened, obviously, you know, in the month of December and today marking 33 years. And I remembered then there being calls for, you know, this to never happen again. And Pam, sadly, I mean, I think about everything that's happened in the last 33 years and all of the women that have lost their lives in such a tragic way. You know, what is the answer? I know we have these recommendations and we often think about, you know, ending violence against women as women talking about this issue and women coming up with solutions. But you and I have spoke before. I mean, this is an everybody problem and an everyone solution.
It is an everybody problem. You're right. And I think just to make that point really clear, I want to talk about numbers a little bit to say that in the past 52 weeks, so in 1 year in Ontario, 52 women and girls were killed by men. According to the United Nations, more than 5 women and girls are killed every hour by a family member somewhere in the world. So we're talking about a lot of women and girls who are losing their lives because we have failed to address this very gendered problem. And I think therein is part of the solution. Until we as a society, whether that's our local community or Ontario or Canada or the whole globe, until we accept that there is violence that is directed particularly at people who are identified as women because they're women, mm-hmm. we're not going to begin to solve the problem. These aren't random killings. They're not as likely to happen to a man or a boy as they are to a woman or a girl. And yet so often our laws and government policy act as though it is exactly that kind of gender neutral problem.
Mm-hmm. When I think back, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, when I think back to 1989, I wasn't hearing the term femicide. I've only heard that term recently. Is that right, Pam? Tell me if that's right or not.
That's absolutely right. I don't know exactly when we began to use that term, but it was certainly after 1989. The term feminicide was first developed by Latina women in Central and South America, where they, before we were doing it quite as explicitly here, were saying, hold on a minute. There's intimate partner homicide, where a woman is killed by her partner. But there's this other word that's a little bit bigger, where women are killed because they're women, often by a partner, but not always by a partner. And in some of those Latin American countries, Mexico being one, there is a separate offense called femicide in the criminal code that carries a much harsher sentence than the sentence for homicide. Now, I don't think we could argue that that has solved the problem in Mexico, where about 20 women a day are killed by men. 20 women a day, just think about that.
Wow.
But the law says we are supposed to, in that country, says we're supposed to treat this kind of killing more seriously. And Sam, you know that one of the recommendations from the inquest here is that the criminal code be amended to include a separate offense called femicide.
And it's I think it's the number one, isn't it, in terms of the list?
No, the very first one is to declare femicide an epidemic,
right,
which would also be really helpful.
Right. Has there been any movement by the Ford government to take any of these recommendations and move them forward?
I don't think it would be fair for me to say no, even though I would like to, because I don't know what they're doing that we don't know about. Certainly a statement was made last week in the legislature by one of the conservative MPPs that there is a cross-ministry examination of the recommendations. I certainly hope that that examination will lead to some kind of public announcement sooner rather than later. Many of us who either were involved with the inquest or have been active since the inquest focusing on getting those recommendations implemented, have focused on recommendation number 5. And I think it's a really important one, because recommendation 5 would require the government to create an implementation committee that's made up equally of people inside government, community-based violence against women experts, to oversee the consideration of all 86 recommendations. Without that, there's really no public accountability. There's really no transparency. The government can say whatever it wants to say, and we won't know what they're actually up to. But I think that recommendation number 5 is critical if we want to see some meaningful action taken on these recommendations.
Mm-hmm. You know, I asked you, Pam, how you were sort of showing respect for these women today and how you were moving forward. You know, for someone that isn't entrenched in it every day like yourself, even, you know, to a degree myself in terms of covering it here, how would you recommend somebody listening today that maybe isn't as familiar with these women and the, you know, the tragedy that ended their life, how would you recommend them sort of remembering them today?
I want to answer that question in two ways. This is the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women, and it's important to start with remembering. For somebody who's not terribly well informed, thanks to the internet, it's pretty easy to find out a lot about what happened 33 years ago on this day, and that's a good starting point to remembering. But I think we also have to remember that in those more than 30 years, a lot more women have died. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's very many communities in this country where some woman has not been killed by a man. And so part of remembering involves also finding out what's happened since 1989, and in particular for each of us, what's happened in our own communities. And then we have to move on to the second part of what this National Day is about, and that's action. So once we've remembered, what are we going to do about it? For some people, that might mean making a donation to their local shelter or sexual assault center where money is always needed, or offering volunteer support. It might mean writing a letter. It might mean reading the recommendations from the inquest and picking ones that have particular resonance mm-hmm. for that individual, and then becoming active to speak to their MPP about having that recommendation implemented. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for people to both remember and then to act.
Really good suggestions there, Pam. I appreciate that. You're going to stay with me. The conversation isn't over today. We're going to continue the conversation remembering the 14 women that were killed at Polytechnique in 1989, 33 years ago. Today, we certainly remember them. Joining us when we come back is Natalie Provo. And Natalie Provo is a shooting survivor at Polytechnique. She's going to share her story. Stay with us here on City News.
Sam LaPrade will be right back on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.